Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of the cross, that he may be able to stand the trial of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
strong in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand the for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise His righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
Live Yahweh's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahweh's Radio, Yahweh's Ministry. I'll be your host for another episode on part number 87, Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries of the Bible. And we got a memo come to the telephone there, Seer. Got something to say to you right now, or you will be mute. Is that right?
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Keep not thou silent, O Yahweh.
strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand the trial. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand the trial. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand before us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of the Lord, that he may be able to stand in the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
All right, I guess we back live again on airways. So we will answer the questions that we was given on that conference line on the network. And, you know, a lot of people have a lot of misinformation about a lot of things, and until it's taught properly, they will always be in a state of mind of confusion. So what we'll do, we'll take a look at what we just got through talking about on the network. All right, let's go see if we're going to be on stage for the nice episode part number. What number is this? 87? And we'll see if we can answer that question. Let's see who will be on the network for the nice episode. Y'all brought me to that mother D up Israel, getting well, and get that wind all the way up in top condition so you can return back to the camps and your presence and put your presence back into the camps. But get in tip-top condition, no doubt about it. Always know one thing, keep your Yahuwah first, and he will take care of that. All right, let's see who's going to be on stage for a nice episode. Got a memo saying the elder will be late because he is in a speaking engagement. All right, Elder, Mr. Till in a speaking engagement. All right, let's see who on the network coming on stage. That's burnt out. The elder. All right. Elder Yahdai Israel. Lead teacher out of Camp 1. Yahqua bid you, I see you right.
Yahqua bless you, see Israel. I see you royal. Hallelujah.
All right. Let's see who else will be on stage for tonight's episode. Round Camp 4, Detroit, Michigan. Will you be on stage for tonight's episode, part 87? Let's see what you come to stage. Camp 4, Detroit, Michigan. Yahqua bless you, see you right.
Yahqua bless you, see royal. Israel.
Yahqua bless you, see royal, huh? All right, Yahqua bless you, see royal. All right, let's see what we can get going on this network. Let's see. Elder, lead teacher out of Camp 1. Let's see what we can get going on. We'll try to answer a couple of questions we got. We didn't answer on that three-way line, that compass line, maybe more than that three-way line. We didn't answer that, but I tell you what, we'll give an answer as it unfolds in the ninth episode, part number 87. The one thing about it, it's amazing. You are hidden hand in something else. Elder, Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see what we can get going on. Come on.
Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And you have to believe the righteous spirit. Why we in a total confusion? Because the order of the Bible is not taught, and it's not going to be taught until the one that speaks, that fits into that golden slipper, exhibit the word of Yahuwah and break down. And those that got ear to hear to believe it, it's up to them. So, Brother Yahdai Israel, you got a Camp 4 will be winging it out for a minute or two. But we're going to look at a couple of statements that was made. Then we're going to get on this Passover, because the Passover is around the corner. But now, in the 15th chapter of Brother Yahdai Israel, read the way you see it in that 15th chapter of Acts. It's amazing, but it's not amazing because one thing about it, the only one going to teach his Bible correctly is those that understand that you got to first get in order with Yahuwah. But in the 15th chapter, let's see if we deal with this question about the Latter-day Saints and they 12 apostles. They dropped this on the table right here, 5 through 7, and asked me what you think about this. What this supposed to mean? Don't this mean everybody? We'll find out. Let's go to the 15th chapter. Read the way you see it, the other. And what we're going to do is we're going to check in something. Let's go to Acts chapter 15, 5 through 7, and let's see exactly what is it saying that we can exhibit the answer according to Scripture. Acts 15, 5 through 7. Elder, Yahdai Israel, you on the clock, come on.
Back, the book of Acts chapter 15, verse number 5 through 7 reads, Acts chapter 15, verse number 5. "There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the Torah instructions of Moses." Verse number 6. "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter." Verse 7. "When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men, brethren, you know now how that Yahuwah, a while ago made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth shall hear the word of the covenant and believe.
He said, you know, about a good while of time, the Gentiles by my mouth supposed to hear the word and believe. So he says, it was most expensive because they had a question because Paul wasn't doing according to the law of the Torah instruction, and that's why it's very important to understand one thing. When this conversation was going on, you know, you got it where that is, you know, it stated that, read a couple more verses, because here go they home run, they put them on the table. You might as well leave the word Holy Ghost in there too. Give me verse 8 and 9, because we go home run, and tell me how can you get off from under this, verse number 8 and 9. What do 8 and 9 say? What did verse 8 and 9 say?
Acts chapter 15, verse number 8. Yahweh, which knoweth the mind, hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Verse number 9. To put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith.
Well, there right there. So it ain't no different. Once you understand, it ain't no different between us and them. You see that? And there they go. That we got you now. Ain't no difference between us and them. See, us is the Jews, and them is the Gentiles, and everybody else. Well, let's backtrack this whole conversation, and let's see can we attack this thing in a way that that Yahweh lead us on to. Let's start this all over and pick it up at verse 1. Let's find out who's the us and the them is and what this conversation is all about by going to 5 down to verse 7, then 8 and 9 was their home run hit. The Latter-day Saints, that's their home run hit. Now, but we're going to backtrack this and pick it up at verse 1, and we're going to see can we start breaking down what's really going on in this conversation. Let's take one verse at a time now. Elder, we'll take one verse at a time in verse number 1. Let's see what we can read in 15 verse 1. One verse at a time. Elder, lead teacher out of camp 1. You're on the clock. Come on.
The book of Acts 15 verse number 1 reads, "And certain men which came down from Judah talked to brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved."
Mm-hmm. Good. So they coming down, they coming to the southern kingdom about this question. So, and now let's find out who was coming where in verse 2. So what's going on here? They is got to take this back to leadership. And leadership is at the southern kingdom. And matter of fact, hold that point. Let's bring a young lion on stage and let's make sure he's cocked and ready to go. The young lion on the table. Let's see if we can bring him on the table just for a minute. Let's see if we can get the young lion on the table and make sure he all ready to go. Coming to the stage to deliver the knockout blow on his part. So when you meet the young lion out of Camp 1, Brother Micaiah Israel, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Yahweh be there, see Roy.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, young lion. Good. All right. So now, Elder, let's come back and let's read verse 2. Let's see what it says in verse 2 that we can read.
The book of Acts 15, verse number 2. "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas, certain other of them, should go up to Yahweh Judah, polluted word Jerusalem, to the apostles and elders about this question.
You did it. Now you see that that's the game changer right there. See, when you always see, you got to understand the rules and regulations of all the things. So they had a question based upon what we read in verse 1. So Paul, because see what Paul was doing, he was doing things that, you know, that a lot of northern kingdom was not familiar with. As a matter of fact, let's get a case in point. Hey, young lion, let's get a case in point. Let's back up to the 14th chapter and let's see what was going on that northern kingdom, they was, and read the names like they got them, because we're going to get a point. So I need all the Jews, I need the Gentiles, the Greeks. I need all these names on the table, because when we take care of the stronghold from the 12 apostles out of Latter-day Saints, I want to kind of just smash it real good, but I got to hit the stage to do so. So in the 14th chapter of Acts there, young lion, what can we read out of verse 1 and 2? 1, 2, then we'll skip down to, and let's talk about them in verse 11. 11 down to about verse number 14. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, 2, 11 to 14. Young lion, Brother Micaiah, come up.
The book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 1, 2, 11 down to 14. Verse 1 reads, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews, also of the Greeks, believed. Verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Verse 11. And when the people saw that, and the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, in the speech of Lyconia, the Yahweh is down to us in the likeness of men. Verse 12. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. Verse 13. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garland into the gate, and would have done sacrifices with the people. Verse 14. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out.
Well, they crying out, and for what reason was they crying out in verse 15?
15, and saying, sir, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and teach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living Yahweh, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things that are therein.
Verse 16.
Who in time has suffered all nations to walk in their own way.
Good. Real nice. Now, let's come on back again. So now, Paul and Barnabas knew they had to go to the leadership of the southern kingdom about the questions about circumcision, sacrificing, because one thing about it, the northern kingdom had them broke away from the southern kingdom, so they was in a twilight zone. So this had nothing to do with the other nations. It's talking about the same people that's in this split kingdom. So this is where you make your error at, because you want to bring everybody in, and this is a A and B conversation. Southern kingdom, they don't got full of themselves, and northern kingdom don't know themselves. So We're going to pick it up at verse number 3 and read straight on down to verse 17. We're going to lay the foundation there. The elder going to lay the foundation right here. And then we're going to investigate all this and tie it all in. Because when you run across this word church, it's talking about, it's a polluted word for the congregation of Israel. We're going to find out that some good stuff and some good information. That's why you have to have your foundation. If you don't have your foundation, you can always look at it and read it wrong. But we're going to break all this down by Elder reading 3 down to verse number 17. You on the clock, come on.
Acts 14.
Yeah, same book, 15 chapter, verse 3. And we're going to take it down to verse number 17. We're going to lay this in, and then we're going to, like I say, enjoy a good meal. Acts 15, 3 down to 17. Elder, you're on the clock. Come on.
The book of Acts chapter 15, verse number 3 through 17. Acts 15, verse 3 reads, "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. They called great joy to all the brethren." Verse number 4. "When they were come to Jerusalem," polluted word for Yahweh Judah, "they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. They declared all things that Yahweh had done with them." Verse 5. "There rose up certain of the set of the Pharisees, which believed, saying, and it was needful to circumcise them, to command them to keep, to keep the Torah instructions of Moses." Verse 6. "The apostles and elders came together for the consider of this matter." Verse number 7. "When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men, brethren, know how that a good while ago Yahweh made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Verse number 8. "And Yahweh which knoweth the mind, heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us." Verse number 9. "Put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Verse 10. "Now therefore, why tempt you, Yahweh, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our father nor we were able to bear?" Verse 11. "But we believe that through the grace of Yahweh, we shall be saved, even as they." Verse 12. "Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders Yahweh had wrought among the Gentiles by them." Verse 13. "After they had held their peace, James answered and said, Men and brethren, hearken unto me." Verse 14. "Simon hath declared how Yahweh at the first did visit the Gentiles for to take out of them a people for his name." Verse 15, "And to this agree the words of the seers, prophets, as it is written." Verse 16, "Now to this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up." Verse 17, "That the residue of men may seek after Yahweh, and all the Gentiles, by whom my name is called, save Yahweh, who doeth all these things."
Now, that big talk of death. I had a 3, 9, 14, and 17 one more time. 3, 9, 14, and 17 one more time, the elder. Verse 3, 9, 14, and 17, come on.
Book of Acts chapter 15, verse 3, verse number 9, verse number 14 and 17 reads. Verse number 3, Acts 15. Verse number 3, "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren." Verse number 9, "Put no difference between us and them, purifying their minds by faith." Verse number 14, "Simon hath declared, as our Yahweh at the first did visit the Gentiles, to take out of them a people for his name." verse 17. That the residue of the men might seek after Yahuwah, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, save Yahuwah, who doeth all these things.
Now you know that. Now it's gonna take a heavy hit to get out of this and that. You know, like I said, when it's hot and heavy, that was there, you know, that looks real damaging when you bring all that good stuff in there, but that's where we come in at to take a look at that. So we're gonna examine some of all this good stuff, you know. You got a lot of stuff, these in verse 3, the Phoenicians, the Samaria, the Gentiles, the brethren. We got a whole lot on the table here. So that's very interesting. I think we were out there around Camp 4 and see his Camp 4. It's got a game working with us out of Camp 4. While we examine a few things here, Camp 4, Detroit, Michigan, Princeton. Let's go to the. Before we go to that, I want to come at it another way. Let's go to Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7, and start peeping at this thing. I want to see, can that hold up all the nations and everything? Can it hold up if you start investigating a few things? Count forward to Detroit, Michigan. What it says in Hosea chapter 7, 1 down to verse 4, 8, 9, 10. Hosea chapter 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, verse 8, 11, and 6. What can we read there, Camp 4, Detroit, Michigan? You on the clock, come on.
Hosea 7, 1 through 4, 8. Yep. Verse 1, 1.
Hosea chapter 7.
God would have healed Israel. Then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered.
Well,
and
hold
the wickedness.
Hold on. Look at 7, 1 through 4, verse 8, 11, and 16. And can I put a little more bass in that voice of yours? Make sure this is brought out. We're going to lay it out a little bit there, Camp 4. In the 7th chapter, 1 down to verse 4, 8, 11, and 16. You on, come on.
Hosea 7, 1 through 4, 8, 11, and 16. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they committed falsehood. And the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers falleth without. Verse 2. And they consider not in their minds that I remembered all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. Verse 3. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princess with their lies. Verse 4. They are all adulterers, as the oven heated by the baker, who ceases from raising after he has kneaded the dough till it be leavened. Verse 8, Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Verse 11, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without mind. They call to Mishram, and they go to Assyria. Verse 14, and they have not cried unto me, and their mind when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me.
Yeah, what happened to 16?
Verse 16, they return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword at the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Mizraim.
Mm-hmm. And let me go back to verse 7:1. I want all the names that they will be called by, like the elder said in the bottom part of the Sabbath day. You know, you got to recognize anytime you see any of these names, it's all pointing at one people, northern kingdom. So when you get past 1 Kings 11:12, when you see these names, this is the name that they're going to be working with right here, and it all points towards 10 northern kingdom. Let's see what three names that they have, and whenever you see it, it's talking about the same peoples in 7:1. What does it say, in 7:1?
Hosea 7:1. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for their commit falsehood. And the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without.
Mm-hmm. Now, Camp 4. What three names that the 10 tribes is called by, if we look for them when we read the Bible? What is their three names that we can read in 7:1? What is their three names? Anytime you see these three names, it's talking about the 10 tribes. What three names that we can read in verse 1?
Israel, Ephraim, and Samaria.
Excellent. That's the three names. But keep that in your mind. They are three names. So when you see these three names, it's all pointing toward of what? Let's back up the chart. Let's back up and get one verse. When you see all three names, let's go to 2 Samuel and tell me what that means. So when you see all three of them names in the second book of Samuel, exactly what that means when you go to the second book of Samuel and you see any of them three names, you can just sum it up in one word. You can sum it up. Let you see these three names. Anytime you see it after first, what you can just say, and there'll be no problem if you say it. Verse 4:3. Let's go to chapter 19, verse 4:3. So when you see these three names in your Bible, you just can say this, but you got to know how to get to this. If you ain't got this, you're not going to look too well, but if you know how to get to this, 19:43, you're going to be all right. What does it say in 19:43?
2 Samuel 19:4. But the king covered.
Hold on, Detroit. 2 Samuel 19:43.
And the men of Israel answered the men of Yachzah Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king.
Good.
We have no more.
Good. So, if you call Israel, Samaria, or Ephraim, you can call them 10 parts. 10 parts or another name in 1 Kings, so you can really cut to the chase and call them in 1 Kings down in Detroit. We want to lay a little groundwork, then we're going to go in for it. in First Kings. 10 parts,
huh?
In First Kings, there's chapter 11. First Kings chapter 11. What it says in verse number 32 and 31. First Kings chapter 11, verse 32 and 31. Detroit, come on.
First Kings 11:32 and 31. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Yahshua Judah's sake. The city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. 31. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces. For thus says Yahweh, the Yahweh of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee.
Verse 35.
But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes.
So Israel can be called 10 tribes. Samaria can be called 10 tribes. Samaria can be called 10 tribes. And Ephraim can be called 10 tribes. So remember, you can cut to the chase if you got these verses to bag you up. All right, that was excellent on your part. Now, let's run back to Hosea chapter 9. Hosea chapter 9, verse 1. No, not Hosea chapter 9. Hosea chapter 7. No, that's right. Hosea chapter 9, that's right. Hosea chapter 9. Well, you got to read chapter 7, didn't we? Did we read 7? Yeah, we was reading 7. Yeah, we read 7. Now, we want to go down to Hosea 9, A.L. We want to Hosea 9, verse 1, 3, 8, 13, and 16. Hosea 9, verse 1, 3, 8, 13, and 16. Laying the groundwork for a minute. Then we're going to look right at that conversation. You don't make it so plain that you get, if you want to miss it, it's up to you. Hosea 9, 1, 3, 8, 13, 16. Elder, you on the clock. Come on.
The book of Hosea, chapter 9, verse number 1, verse number 3, verse 8, verse 13, and verse 16 reads. Verse 16. The book of Hosea, chapter 9, verse number 1. Rejoice not, O Israel, but joy as other people. You have gone a whoring from your Yahweh. You have loved a reward. You have loved a reward upon every cornfield. Verse number 3. They shall not dwell in Yahweh's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt. For the word from Israel, they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. Verse number 8. The watchman of Ephraim was with my Yahweh, but the pastor, shepherd, is a snare of a fowler in all his ways, hatred in the temple of his Yahweh. Verse 13. Ephraim, as I saw, Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to murderers. Verse 16. Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit, yea. Though they bear fruit, they will not slay even the beloved fruit of their womb.
Mm-hmm. And a verse 3, and Yahweh said, what are you going to do in verse 3 there? And he said, and when you get to where you got to get to, then verse 13. Now, look what he says about the 10 tribes. He's talking about the 10 tribes now. He said, what do you say about the 10 tribes in verse 3?
Because Hosea 9, verse number 3. They shall not dwell in Yahweh's land, but Ephraim, northern kingdom, shall return to Egypt, the house of bondage. They shall eat unclean things in Assyria.
Verse 13.
Verse number 13. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim, northern kingdom, shall bring forth his children to the murderer.
Yeah, see, right? So you see, he said, well, what will happen to the 10 tribes of Israel, they're going to have a lot of babies, but a lot of them are going to be blown to the murderer. A lot of them are going to be blown to the murderer, see, right? So that's why, you know, because when they left out, you know, the article about, I forgot that president, what that president name, if anybody can help me, he said, you know, they left out of such and such color, but they came back. The president of Egypt said that they left out looking like 9-7. What did it say here in 9 verse 7 or Amos? This is how they left out. When they left out of their land of Samaria, the 10 tribes, when they left out, this is what they look like according to the Bible, 9 verse 7 of Amos. What did it look like, Elder?
Amos chapter 9 verse 7 reads, are you not as the family of the Ethiopians, Cushites, unto me, O family of Israel?
So you see, that's how they live out. But what happened when they transgressed against Torah instruction, they got caught up with the conquistadors before that, Christopher Columbus, and they were taken back to parks and over there with the Catholic Church and everybody else, and they got mixed. So that brown, that old many shades of brown, trash looking, they lost that by getting caught up with the murder. I want to James and find out a little bit more about the murders in the 11th chapter that we can read about the murders there. The elder, find a little bit more about these murderers. Who are these murders he talking about? Is that the murderers going to start having babies with y'all, Northern Kingdom? The murderers going to jump you? Now, who are these murderers that we can read that's going to jump them? Let's even find out who these murderers is in Daniel chapter 11. What we want to find out is who are these murderers that's going to have part of Northern Kingdom. Let's see what we can read. And Daniel chapter 11. Let's stick it around about verse number 12. And I'm looking for the murderers. The murderers. Is I'm in the right verse? Yeah. Elders, I'm in the right verse. I'm looking for the murderers. We'll read soon I find, but I'm looking for the murderers. I think I'm close enough to it. 11 chapters. Figured around about 12 out of verse 15. I'm looking for the murderers. You on the clock? No.
Because Daniel chapter.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah, okay. Go ahead, Elder.
The book of Daniel chapter 11, verse number 12 to 15 reads. Book of Daniel 11, verse 12. When he had taken away the multitude, his mind shall be lifted up. He shall cast down many 10,000, but he shall not be strengthened by it. Verse 13, for the king of the north shall return, shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall surely come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. Verse 14, in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of your people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. Verse 15. So the king of the north shall come and cast them out and take the most fenced city. The arms of the South shall not withstand. Neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand.
Mm-hmm. He says chosen people's going to be in bad shape, and the robbers are going to come get them. Murderers are going to take them down in grand style. So you search the history, but we're not going to expand on all that. But you search the history, but we want to go back and get a little bit more. But we got to tie this in. But we have to establish that the children of the 10 tribes, they was going to lose their appearance, their understanding, and they're going to remain in the 21:16 of the congregation of the dead. They're going to have a lot of things going contrary to them in historical history. And so now when the robbers and the murderers get a hold to the book of that 15th chapter, it's easy to bring everybody into that subject matter, but it's too many clues they left in that subject matter that we read in the 15th chapter, verse 3, 9, 14, and 17, that these will be the people that's called, these ones are going to be the people that's called by my name, the Gentiles that is called by my name. Now, I want to see if we find out a little bit more on that. The Gentiles that's called by my name, we're going to find out by going to the 48th chapter. We're going to Genesis 48. Let's find out who's these Gentiles that it was such a, take them back to Southern Kingdom and sit around the elders and talk about this problem that we got. Let's see what we can read in the 48th chapter of Genesis. Who's the Gentiles that Paul was taking to the Southern Kingdom about the question about the laws of Moses? Let's see who these Gentiles is that we can read by going to Genesis 48, 1 down to verse 6. What did it say, Elder? Genesis 48, 1 through 6.
Book of Genesis 48, verse number 1 through 6 reads, Book of Genesis 48, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things, that one told Joseph, "Yo, your father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, verse number 2. And one told Israel, and said, "Yo, your son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. Verse number 3. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Yahweh Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me." Verse 4. And said unto me, "Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply you. I will make of you a multitude of people. And I will give this land to your seed after you for an everlasting possession." Verse number 5. Now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, polluted word from Israel, land of bondage, before I came unto thee in the land of bondage, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Verse number 6, and they issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance.
So Israel said Ephraim and Manasseh is his, and they be called after the name of Simeon and Reuben. And Simeon Reuben's last name was Israel. So now we see now they will be called after the name of Israel, who? Ephraim and Manasseh. And what do verse 8 down to verse 11 say, Elder?
The book of Genesis 48, verse number 8. And Israel behold Joseph's son and said, "Who are these?" Verse number 9. And Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons, whom Yahweh hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. He brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Verse 11. Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, Yahweh have shown me also your seed.
Mm-hmm. And what did he say in verse 6 again, Elder?
The book of Genesis 48, verse 6. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance.
Mm-hmm. So Ephraim and Manasseh will be called, it was already, so when you got to that first King 11 and 12, it was already prophesied this was going to happen about Ephraim and Manasseh will get the name of Israel. And what he says about Ephraim in 31 of Genesis verse number 9, he makes a profound statement about Ephraim there, Elder. He makes a profound statement about Ephraim. See, once we understand one thing, if you don't have your foundation and you see certain names, you'll get hijacked on certain names if you don't put them in place. That's why you got to have your foundation about certain names. Israel, Ephraim, and Samaria, all these three, these names is synonymous with the 10 tribes. So he says in Jeremiah 31 verse 9 pertains to something he said to Jeremiah about Ephraim. What did he say about Ephraim?
The book of Jeremiah 31 verse number 9 reads, it shall come with weeping, and with supplication will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I'm a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn.
You see that? And then we just read where Ephraim became his firstborn over here in Genesis 49. So when you see these words right here called Ephraim, when you see the word Israel, Ephraim, or Samaria, you're talking about the 10 tribes and how they got their name. Now let's read the prophecy of this, Elder. Let's read the prophecy in Amos chapter 9, verse 11, 12, 14, and 15. Let's read a little prophecy of this in the book of Amos by the seer in Amos chapter 9, verse 11, 12, 14, and 15. What's the prophecy that we can read?
The book of Amos, chapter 9, verse number 11 and 12, verse 14 and 15 reads, book of Amos, chapter 9, verse number 11, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Verse number 12, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, Esau and his five sons, and of all the heathen nations which are called by my name, save Yahweh, that doeth this. Verse 14, and I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities, inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Verse 15, and I will plant them upon their land. They shall not, and they shall no more be plucked up out of their land, which I gave them, save Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. You say he will raise up, we read Israel, he said, well, I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to raise up the ruins of David, southern kingdom, I'm going to raise up them. And he done a whole lot of talking right there. And he said, the heathen, even the heathen that's called by his name. Wait a minute. Even the heathen is called by his name. Let's see what heathen is called by his name. Let's go to 2 Ezra chapter 2 there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's even find out around about 36. Who is this heathen that he's going to raise up that he's called by his name? Who is this heathen? The heathen that's called by his name. He said, I'm going to raise them up too. The heathen that is called by my name. Now, in this case of these heathens that's called by his name, we got to get us a verse. around 2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 36. Let's see if we find out that, you know what I need to elder. Who are these heathens that's called by that he got to get them heathens that's called by his name back on the right track? 2 Ezra 2:36, somewhere in that area. What we got there, elder? Come on.
The book of 2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 33 and 34 reads, 2 Ezra 2, verse 33. I have to receive the charge of Yahuwah upon the Mount Horeb, that I should go unto Israel. When I came unto them, they set me at naught, and despised the Torah instructions of Yahuwah. Verse 34, therefore I say unto you, O you heathens.
So these heathens got to understand one thing. These heathens, in this case, is talking about old 10 northern tribes. So old 10 northern tribes, and matter of fact, even Yahgah, so Israel, the whole Israel is called heathen when you don't know your identity or what your responsibility is. You like what's going on right now. You got a great big feast coming up now. And if you own the information of the feast, you understand you're a member of the 12 tribes of Israel, or if you're a heathen, you pay it no never mind. A heathen don't pay no never mind. A heathen, he can be Israel, but you can be a heathen up under misinformation. So there you go with that, the heathen. The heathen is talking about the Israelites that do not know who they are. Now, young lion, let's run and let's take another look at something. We heard a whole lot in the 15th chapter. But I want to just read the way you see it, because I got to tie in some more heathens and Gentiles and show that because you got these names on them, it's talking about a specific people. We go on to the 10th chapter, verse 1 of Acts. 10th chapter, we're going to Acts 10:1, and we're going to take one verse at a time, and let's find out some order about something. Let's look at 10 verse 1 in the book of Acts. Acts 10:1.
Okay, the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band.
Now,
verse
this Cornelius,
two.
A man of Caesarea called Cornelius, he was an officer over 100 men. Now they're gonna say something about this officer over 100 men in verse 2. What they said to him in verse 2, this officer over 100 men of the Italian band. What they say in verse 2 about it?
The book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 2. Verse 2 reads, a devout man and one that feared Yahuwah with all his house, which gave much to the people and prayed to Yahuwah always.
Good. So he was a devout man. And he wanted that freedom from Yahuwah, and with all his family, that means the nation he was from, and he gave much alms to the people. So he always was able to see any of them that was of his race, he always put a couple of dollars in their pocket. Now, what happened in verse 3 that we can read?
Okay, verse 3. He saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel, ministering spirit of Yahuwah, coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius.
Mm-hmm. He said, so this angel came to him saying, Cornelius. Cornelius what? Verse 4.
Verse 4.
What's going on, Cornelius, in verse 4?
verse 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it? What is it, Yahweh?" And he said unto him, "Your prayer, your arms are come up for a memorial before Yahweh."
Mm-hmm. So these men of the spirit can't do no more than what Yahweh did, because they are mirrors, Yahweh. And so when he came to Cornelius, according to 15:24, the men of the spirit can do no different than what the son did. What did the son do in 15:24 Matthew? What did Yahweh the son do in Matthew 15:24?
Okay. Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. Verse 24 reads, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the family of Israel."
Mm-hmm. So Cornelius, the mental spirit is not going to do nothing no different than Yahweh did, the son did. So as this Cornelius, he was a member of the 10 tribes, because the mental spirit is doing the same thing Yahweh was doing, and they was only sent to the lost sheep of the family of Israel. Now, hold that part right there, young line, and run to the 10th chapter. Let's look at verse 5 through 7. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 down to verse 7.
Okay. From the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 5 down to 7. Verse 5 reads, "These 12 Yahweh the Son sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not." Verse 6, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house, the family of Israel." Verse 7, "And as ye go, teach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
Mm-hmm. So they were sent to, you remember, the word Samaria, Ephraim, and Israel means 10 tribes. So now we clear that was going on. Now, let's swing over and get something out of this Samaria talk, and this should clear up soundly the Samarian talk right now, because only they were sent to the lost sheep of the family of Israel, but the son have to open the door, just like the member spirit is opening the door right here in the book of Acts. Let's back up our young line to the St. John chapter 4 and pick up verse 1. Let's read a little of this conversation going on right here in 4 verse 1.
The book of St. John, picking up at chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "When therefore Yahweh knew how the Pharisees had heard that Yahweh the Son made and baptized more disciples, followers, than John." Verse 2. "Though Yahweh the Son himself baptized not, but his disciples, followers." Verse 3. "He left Judah," the word Yada, "and departed again into Galilee." Verse 4. "And he must needs go through Samaria." Verse 5. "Then come he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Israel gave to his son Joseph." Verse 6. "Now, Israel's well was there. Yahweh the Son, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Verse 7. There come a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yahweh the Son said unto her, give me to drink. Verse 8. For his disciples, followers, were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jew have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10.
Mm-hmm. Hold that part right there. Hold that. Read verse 9 again.
Verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews mm-hmm. have no dealings with the Samaritans.
Mm-hmm. So in verse 9, Samaria is synonymous with 10 tribes. So this mm-hmm. woman, this woman right here, it could be just stated plainly, this is a woman of the 10 tribes of Samaria. So this woman is of the 10 tribes. Read verse 7.
Verse 7 reads, there come a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yahweh the Son says unto her, give me to drink.
Mm-hmm. So this woman is of the 10 tribes. So because remember, Yahweh said he was only sent to the lost family, another word for family. In Acts chapter 10, what's another name for family that we can read in Acts chapter 10? See, we get another name for family. That's in Acts chapter 10, we're going to get another name for family. Let's see what it says in verse number 10:28.
Book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 28. 28 reads, and he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But
the 10 tribes, the Samaritan, is another nation. Mm-hmm. So that's another nation, but another nation from what? That's the point. It's another nation. So that the 10 tribes can be called the 10 tribes, and the word family can be the nation, but we still talk about the same people. The peoples of what Cornelius is at, which is another nation, but the mental spirit came to him and is another nation, and another nation of who? Let's run to and find out what another name for the another nation. They're in the 10th chapter, and let's see another name in verse 6. What another name for another nation? Verse 36.
The book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 36. 36 reads, the word which Yahweh sent unto the children of Israel, teaching peace by Yahweh the Son. He is Yahweh of all.
So the another nation he's talking about, the another nation is another family, but the family he's talking about is Israel. That's what he's talking about, see, right? So when you jump down in that 15th chapter, that what he was talking about was the children of Southern Kingdom and Northern Kingdom. That's when you jump down. The nations that they were talking about was this nation right here, that something happened to these. Let's go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33 there, verse Brother Micaiah, we're going to Jeremiah 33. Let's see what we're trying to paint this picture. See, until this is taught properly, in the 33rd chapter, let's pick it up at verse number 33 and 34. Matter of fact, you might read down to 36, brother. But pause on 34. Let me get in there with that 34. Then we'll read verse 35 and 36. What it says in Jeremiah 33, verse 33 and 34. What is it?
Book of Jeremiah. Hold on. You want to say the scripture again one more time for me? You said
Jeremiah
33.
33, verse 23 and 24.
Okay. All right. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 23 and 24. Verse 23 reads, "Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah saying, verse 24, consider you not what this people has spoken, saying, the two families which Yahweh have chosen, he has even cast them out. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them."
So these two peoples, these two families called two nations. So so the two nations is the same two nations we will read when we was we was in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, when we read in Acts chapter 15, verse 3 and 9. Now, line. What it says in Acts chapter 15? Let's bring in one nation to give one nation verse 1, 3, and 9. Acts 15, verse 1, 3, and 9. What it say? Let's see, can we start tying this in right here. Just give me two lines in 15, verse 1.
Book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 1, 3, and 9. Verse 1 reads, "And certain men which came down from Judah talked to brothers, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Verse 3.
Well, now we got one nation that's over here and one family that's over here, and y'all got Judah. Verse 3.
"And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brothers."
Now this other nation is the Gentiles, and that is the 10 northern tribes. And look what he said about the 10 northern tribes in verse number 9.
Verse 9. "And put no difference between us and them, purify their minds by faith."
So what he was talking about when you jump down there, Latter-day Saints, in this verse, this ain't talking about all the nations. This talking about the two split kingdoms that broke away from the covenant, and the two families is the two families of northern and southern families of nations of Israel. That's what it's talking about. But what happened there, Detroit, in the third chapter, verse 8 of Romans, something happened. Detroit, chapter 4, something happened in Romans chapter 3. Something jumped off that we need to read in Romans chapter 3. See, that's why you have to have, see, we know that the world gonna sooner or later, find out the only way you can get to understand this Bible, you got to submit yourself upon the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelites, and we be sitting there ready for you. You hear? We will be ready for you, but we want to go to Romans chapter 3, verse 8, with so far understanding that we're getting. Let's read it a little bit, and it's leading names like the eagles when it comes down to Gentile, Jew, you know, all that good stuff. Lead a name like it is because so Paul going to talk about this conversation right here in 3 verse 8. What it says, Detroit, Michigan, 3 verse 8. Now, this might be a little heavy for those that are astonished about how you really, how to break down that 15 chapters. If that 15 chapter got nothing to do with the other nations, it got something to do with the many names of the 10 tribes was called, and Yahweh's southern kingdom was called the Jew. But the Jew is not the people in the land, and the Gentiles are not everybody else. That's the split kingdom, the two families. So now Paul is going to do some addressing in 3 verse 8 to who? 3 verse 8, Detroit, Michigan, come on.
Romans 3 verse 8. And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just.
Hold on, boy. See, now Paul was slandered. Now, you knew who was slandering Paul? Yahweh Judah. See, Yahweh Judah, remember we just read over in the 15th chapter. See, every time Paul brought something to the table, see, they didn't know Paul was raised from the womb to take care of his business. And a lot of Yahweh Judah was kind of slow on some things. And that's when he had to come back to the southern kingdom to get more information. So Paul was, he always been slandered by Yahweh Judah. He always will put the mouth on him. Hold that point. Run to the Acts 13. Let me show they always have put the mouth on Paul. They're going to put the mouth on you, too. Let's go to Acts chapter 13 and show you that southern kingdom, Yahweh Judah, have always put the mouth on Paul. And that was Paul was saying to northern kingdom, that southern kingdom always put the mouth on me. Let's see another case in point in 13 chapter. There, Camp 4. Let's get another case in point that he's saying the same thing. Because everywhere Paul went, old southern kingdom was always put the mouth on him. In the 13th chapter, let's pick it up around about verse number 45 and 46. What did it say? 45 and 46. What did it say that we can read?
Acts 13, 45 and verse 46. But when the Jews saw that multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of Yahweh would first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles.
Jews, political, Yahweh, Judah, have always jumped Paul. They always, every time Paul came on the scene, now precept that to the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 10. So it always have been that way. They always jump old Paul the Benjamite. They always have jumped him. And see, and that's what he was saying to them, because, see, a lot of them is behind the times when the movement is starting to move forward. You always going to have somebody always in your congregation, always put them out because they don't understand. They be looking for an aha instead of looking for the movement of the change and getting the thing in order. They will always have some kind of question about something that don't relate to the topic of the progressive. That's a good point I just made. Now, what does it say in 17 verse 10 of Acts? 17 verse 10.
Acts 17 verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Who coming?
Back up a little further. I need to find out what was going on. Who let me see now. Let me peep at this. In the 17th chapter, where did they go? I need to find out some. So Paul always been put where y'all got Judah always gonna jump him. They always gonna jump at him. I mean the one that is late and don't recognize the signs and the times. In the 17th chapter, what it says, I'm missing my hit. You read verse 10.
Verse 13.
On the 17th chapter, they always would try to jump Paul. So they was in a temple where the Jews blew for Yah God Judah. And pick it around by verse number 12 and 13. What does it say in verse 12 and 13? 17 chapter, verse 12 and 13.
Acts 17, verse 12 and 13. Those things, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks. And his men, not a few. Verse 13. But when the Jews polluted for Yachta Judah of Thessalonica had acknowledged that the word of Yahweh was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people.
Yeah. So Paul, always you have somebody always can always try to look at turning something sideways any opportunity they get. They're going to be somebody that looks just like you. I mean, you be looking right at your scripture and they just see things totally different. They just see things totally different regardless. And they always be disinvolved and they would not be into the flow of things. So you got to recognize these signs because they ain't nothing new up under the sun. So it always, somebody always going to be like that. And everywhere Paul went, the Jews, Yah God Judah, always will make a statement. And that's what was going on in that 15th chapter, because when Paul, was raised from the womb, to bring that let northern kingdom know now the sacrificing is over with. But you had some late time Jews and they still thought it was still going on, but it was over with, but they was hard to make that difference because they didn't want no part. And that's what the woman at the well said. You don't have no dealing with us, we from the 10 tribes, northern kingdom. You don't have no dealing with us. But it was a time that was to happen because you broke away, but now is the time to bring you back in. I hope I can, if that makes sense. For those that got an ear to hear, that makes sense. There was a time to bring them back in, but you got to bring them back in upon the order. And what happened? The order. Now, for this thing to happen, it got to happen with the order of things. Now, hey, Elder, let's see about these two nations. So now we know, we're clear that these two nations, that when we read about this good stuff in chapter 11, in Acts chapter 11 there, Elder, Yagdah, we're going to the 11th chapter, and we're going to peep at something, because it's always, but this is who is in Yagdah Judah to take care of his business. That's why you got to recognize the order of things. All I want is when they had a big disturbance going on, but every time you get in a tight, you supposed to do what in 11, verse number 1? In 11, verse 1. We're going to mute Elder. Oh, yeah? All right, now line 11, verse 1.
The book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, and the prophets and brothers that were in Judah heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now the apostles and the brothers that was at Southern Kingdom, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, heard that the word was taught to the Gentiles, the heathen, Northern Kingdom, 10 tribes. And so they sort of, so now, let's run to Ephesians. Let's run through Ephesians and see what Paul said behind that. Paul said something behind that too. And he said and he said something in Ephesians. I know we all in place right now, but when you stand back off this thing, you're going to see it unfold itself. We run into the book of Ephesians. There, young lion. We're going to the book of Ephesians and find out a statement that was made that we can read. What can we read? Well, now, is that Ephesians I want? Is that Ephesians I want? Shoot. Let me see. It's a statement I'm looking for. Let's see what it says here. And Ephesians chapter 2, make it Ephesians chapter 3. Let's pick it up around about verse number 4. 4 down to verse number 8. 4-8. Ephesians chapter down to verse 8. What is it that we can read there? Y'all online?
The book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 4 down to 8. Verse 4 reads, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Yahuwah the Son. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his righteous apostles and seared by the Spirit. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellows, heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Yahuwah the Son by the gospel. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of Yahuwah, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Unto me, who am less than the least of all his saints, in the grace given, that I should teach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Yahuwah the Son.
You see it? You see what Paul's saying? So Paul saying that he got a ministry and telling that the Gentiles got to be, they shall be fellow heirs of the same body, these Gentiles. He said, this is a great mystery. This is a mystery. And this is what Yahdah Judah did understand this mystery, because they knew that since the northern kingdom had them broke away, and then when Yahweh told them not to go their way, they remember the words he said in that 10, in that verse, go not to the way of the Gentiles, in the city of Samaria. Go to the lost sheep of the family of Israel. So they knew that they was not, and the woman at the well said, from the 10 northern kingdom, says tribes of Israel, you don't have no dealing with us. Y'all don't deal with us. So you see that, see, right? So that's where we make the mistake at, by thinking they're talking about other nations. And what they're talking about is the ones that was Israel, and they was the Gentiles of this book in most cases. Usually they the Gentiles of this book. You have no, once you break away from Yahuwah, you can be a member of the 12 tribes, you can become a heathen or a Gentile when you break away from the covenant of Yahuwah. So automatically you become a heathen. When you don't keep the feast days, Passover, and you still not wearing no fringes and garments and at no time, you become a Gentile or a heathen, although you can still be Israel. Okay, the case in point is, and so that's why you jump down and see these words, but these words were for the wars that come to be. These heathen, these Gentiles, was the one that's in Ephesians chapter 3, that 3 verse 16. Look and say about these Jesus, heathen Gentiles, they got a trump card to play if they play it in order in verse 3:16. Watch what it says in Ephesians 3:16 now. What is it saying, 3:16?
Book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 16. 16 reads, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to
what
be strength.
Well, hold on. Look at 3:16. Ephesians, real carefully. 3:16. I mean, make it 2:16. You're right. We'll make it 2:16.
2:16. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 16. Verse 16 reads, and that he might reconcile both unto Yahuwah in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby.
You see that? So these Gentiles got reconciled or reconciliation back if they take it. If they play their trump card, these Gentiles got reconciliation back to being one body. Yeah. See, right? So now they might be reconciled back unto Yahuwah in one body. But the one that can be reconciled back to one body, that's the one that was all yet to be reconciled. It's just like it take a couple. And one couple leave and go home to mama. And then they go home to mama. And you come, knock on the door, and say, look here, I come to reconcile with my better half that's back home. So you understand what that means by reconcile? That means you was once together, and now we trying to reconcile this thing. But you can't go reconcile with somebody over there in Chinatown. Where are you going? I'm down in Chinatown. What you down here for? I'm down here to reconcile. Reconcile. What you reconcile down here for? No, you reconcile with somebody that's been with you all the time. The China man has never been with you. So you can't reconcile with him, but you can reconcile with somebody that's been with you at once upon a time ago. See? So that's what it means. So these Gentiles was once one body. See? These Gentiles right here was one body. It's no other nation can ever say biblically that you was this one body. Not biblically. See, there's no way we can read that you ever of any other nation was with the nation of Israel. So that split is the only one that can be drafted back in to be reconciled, and reconciled is only to whom that we can read by going to Ezekiel. Let's see what we can read about who can be reconciled or reconsidered or reconciled. Let's see who we can read that who this word is for in the book of Ezekiel 45 there, young lion. See, that's what I'm saying. When you put all these pieces together, you'll come up with something. You come up with something if you can put it all together. This reconciliation is reconciliation. Reconcile is for who? In the 45th chapter, verse 15 and 17. See, that's what I'm saying. You know, we must come now, but this really is a, when you break this thing down, you have to have the right spirit to know how to go in and look at the key words. But you're talking to the Ephesians that was Gentiles to be reconciled back to one body, but there was a Gentile. But the only one to be reconciled is the one that you can read, and we're going to see right now of being reconciled in the 45th chapter, verse number 15 to 17. What can we read there, young lion, 15 to 17?
In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 45, verse 15 and verse 17. Verse 15 reads, and one lamb out of the flock, out of 200, out of the fat pastures of Israel, for a meat offering, and for a burnt offering, and for a peace offering, to make reconciliation for them, says Yahuwah. Verse 17, and it shall be the princes, and drink offerings, in the feast, and in the new moons, and in the Sabbath, and the solemnities of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering, and the meat offering, and the burnt offering, and the peace offering, to make reconciliation for the house of Israel.
So the family of the nation of Israel, that's the only one that can be reconciled, reconciliation back according to the Bible. So when you jump down in Ephesians and you read about reconciliation for the Gentiles is what you call the 10 northern tribes that have lost their way. They got to be found their way back to be reconciled back with Southern Kingdom, because they was once with Southern Kingdom, but after the 11th and 12th chapter, they broke away from Southern Kingdom until what time? Let's see what time they broke away that we can read. Young lion, let's see how long they've been broke away from Southern Kingdom. See, we got to remember, everything got to be answered by our scripture. So we're going to find out how long they have been broke away from the northern 10 tribes. How long have they been broke away from Yahdah Judah that we can read? Let's go to the 12th chapter and see how long that we can read. In the 12th chapter, verse 19. 1 Kings 12:19. How long they have broke away that we can read? 12:19.
The book of 1 Kings, 12, verse 19. Verse 19 reads, so Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day.
So Israel, 10 northern tribes, rebelled against David, southern kingdom, the three tribes, even to this day. So they reconciliation, reconciled is still is in the making even to this day. Even to this day, northern kingdom have broke away from the southern kingdom, and you're on the way back. You must find your way back to southern kingdom. But what got to happen, that's why we got to be wise, young lion, in the 11th chapter of Numbers, the 11th chapter of Isaiah, certain things got to stop. So we got to look at the circumstances and bring the history in grand style. So in the 11th chapter, something got to stop. And let's see what it is got to stop that we can read. Let's look at 11th chapter, verse 13. We're going to 11, verse 13 of Isaiah and see what got to stop. Let's see how this thing going to work its way back in and we can read. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 13. What can we read there? You on the clock, come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 13. 13 reads, the envy also of evil shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not back Ephraim.
You see that? See, northern kingdom got to stop envying southern kingdom. And the southern kingdom got to stop vexing them, saying, oh, no, you ain't you. No, you got to stop that. See, that's why I said we got a big job ahead of us to bring this thing together. We can't vex them. And they got to stop envying us. Why y'all got everything? Well, that's the way Yahuwah put it on the table. You got to accept the way Yahuwah gave. He gave everything to Yahuwah Judah, Benjamin and Levi. You got to accept that. Mm-hmm. You see, and we got to stop envying them, vexing them by saying, you ain't Israel. Now we don't know who you is like they do now. We know that you got caught up with the murderers and got yourself crossed up. But we also can read what's written in 8, verse 14 and 16, that we can read at Campor. Hey, Princess, what can we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 16? What is that we have to read if the Spirit is there? What can we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 16?
Romans 8, verse 14 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14. For many are as led by the Spirit of Yahuwah. They are the sons of Yahuwah. Verse 16. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of Yahuwah.
You see, so we'll be able to tell past a skin color, because we know them, a lot of them got caught up with the robbers and the murderers. But we'll be able to tell by your spirit. You know, we'll be able to tell by you understand the order of things that Yahuwah Judah leads. And you know that your only role is to be, let me show you what the book says. You got to tell you what the book's saying. See, we can't say nothing. And if you understand this role, this is the order of things. Camp 4, let's run to our First Kings, chapter 12. See, now once we're able to plot this thing in the order of things, then Yahuwah going to intervene. But here go the order of things that we got to understand something. So when we see this thing coming together, remember, it's only going to come together upon the order. Let's see what it says we can read in 12, verse number 7. 1 Kings 12:7. Listen to what we got written in 12 verse 7.
1 Kings 12:7. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servant forever.
Ain't that so? You see that? So you see the position in the Northern Kingdom, read verse 6. So you see? We just reading Bible. See, we got to understand something. It ain't going to work until the order is in place. Verse 6.
Verse 6. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men, stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people?
That's nice. See, that's nice right here. That's why you got to know what the man is saying. He got an order about things. And once we in order, then Yahweh will intervene. Now, who of this people is he talking about in verse 3? Who is this people he's talking about? No, read verse 1. No, we can make it verse 1. Go on, get to it. Verse 1. Who is this people? Verse 1.
Kings 12, verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel to Shechem, to make him king.
You see that? So, they come out of Israel, Northern Kingdom. Listen, this is Northern Kingdom. And what it say in verse 16?
And so when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance and the son of Jesse, to your tents, O Israel. Now see to the northern kingdom, David's tents.
Now you just gonna drop some in there and fumble all over the place. Now why would you put that in there? That don't work. That don't even work at all. David's in southern kingdom. Northern kingdom of Israel. Now they says to all Israel. Now all Israel is who? Now who is all Israel? Back up and tell me the last line in verse 31. Who is all Israel that we can read in 11:31? Last line. What is all Israel we can read? Camp off.
First
last line in verse 31. Huh?
First Kings. 11:31. Kings 11:31. And it reads, and he said to Jeroboam.
The last line in 31.
I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee.
So all Israel is how many? Is how many, Campo? How many is all Israel from this point on?
10 tribes.
That's it. 10 tribes. That's it. So there is right there. So that's 10 tribes. So the problem is now is reconciliation, because the 10 tribes have done what again in 12:19? What have the 10 tribes did to Southern Kingdom, Benjamin, Levi? What they have did that we can read in the 12th chapter, verse 19. What have 10 tribes have done? Verse 19, 12:19.
First Kings 12:19. So Israel rebelled against the family of David, of the southern tribe, unto this day.
Mm-hmm. So the 10 tribes rebelled against the southern kingdom to this day. But once they recognize their position is verse 7. What's their position in 12:7?
Kings 12, verse 7. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them.
Who is this people that we can read?
Israel.
10 tribes. If you be a servant to these 10 tribes of Israel, if you be a servant to Allah, if you treat them right, southern kingdom, if you don't back them no more, if you treat them right, you see they in the dark, you got to treat them right. That's what he's saying. See, now the old man's told King, listen, stop vexing northern kingdom. Treat them right. And if you treat them right, what going to happen? Again, keep reading. What's going to happen if you treat them right?
And will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever.
So the 10 northern tribes, what position they are to the southern kingdom this day? What is their position? So when they come in, what is their position that we can read? The chart, what is their position?
To be servants.
Exactly right. But you said like you didn't boldly say your position is to be servant to the southern kingdom. That's it. But southern kingdom got to make sure you treat them right. You can't be wicked with them. And that was what was going on, being wicked. And every time Paul showed up to try to get the northern kingdom together, southern kingdom would jump off. But this thing is already ordained. They don't serve their punishment. Now they got to be brought back in. Let's go find out how it's going to happen. Come on, Brother Micaiah, let's run on to the 37th chapter, 1 down to verse 4, and let's start bringing them back now. Let's go to the 37th chapter, pick at verse 1.
Okay.
Ezekiel, verse 1. Let's see me bring them back now.
Okay. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1 reads, the hand of Yahuwah was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of Yahuwah, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Verse 3, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? O Yahuwah, Yahuwah, you know. Verse 4, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of Yahuwah.
All right. So all the way these dry bones going to get on their feet, according to verse 4, what got to happen that we can read? Young line, what got to happen for the dry bones, according to verse 4?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verse 4 reads, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Yahuwah.
Oh, you see, all the way to northern kingdom can come back. They got to hear the word of Yahuwah. That's it. See, and we the one have to show them the word, because they all over the place as we speak right now. 98% of northern kingdom is Roman Catholic Church. Roman Catholic Church members. They out of order everywhere. So the only way back they got to hear the word of Yahweh, because they, anything that come out their mouth will never be right until we patiently show them the word of Yahweh. So let's find out. So what is happy meeting start taking place? How can this happy meeting start taking place? Let's see what got to happen to get them and the misfit Yahweh Judah. What got to happen that we can read? Let's run to the 11th chapter, pick up at verse 3 of 1 Corinthians. Let's see what got to happen first. Let's pick up by 11, verse number 3. We will read all the way down to verse number 8. Let's see what got to happen. Start getting this thing in order, and there go Paul trying to get things going. Let's see how they get in order there, young lion. Let's go to 11th chapter, pick up verse 3. Down to verse 8.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. We're picking up at verse 3 down to verse 8. Verse 3 reads, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Yahweh the Son, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Yahweh the Son is Yahweh the Father." Verse 4, "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonor her head. That is even all one as if she were shaved." Verse 6, "For if the woman be not covered, let her alone be strong. But if it be a shame for a woman to be strong or shaven, let her be covered." Verse 7, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of Yahweh, but the woman is the glory of the man." Verse 8, "For the man is not the woman, but the woman of the man."
So you see, some order got to be set up, and you got to lead by example. So the order got to be set up. The man got to understand his role, and the woman got to understand her role in the order of some Yahweh. See? So that's David right there, see right here. And so let's run to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and let's find out something real quick there. Some order got to be set in. But the order was already set from the foundation of the world. Camp four, back up and give me, because I forgot that you don't have your missing books. So back up and give me 2:18 down to verse 24 of Genesis. Let's see where the foundation of the order is at camp four and the closing statement. Camp four, we're going to get a closing statement out to you, but we're going to get Genesis 2. Verse 18 down to verse 24. I'm gonna ask you something after this is read, and I want to see what your response will be. Genesis 2, 18 to 24. Come on.
Genesis 2, verse 18 to 24. "And Yahweh said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." Verse 19, "And out of the ground Yahweh formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Verse 20, "And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him." verse 21, and Yahweh caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept of his ribs and clothes of the flesh instead thereof. Verse 22, and the rib which Yahweh had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto the wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Now, read one verse real quick there, Campbell. Then I want you to expound on that in the closing statement.
You're breaking up. Can you repeat that, Seer?
Come back to the 19th chapter of Matthew.
Okay.
Matthew 19. And what do it say in verse 6? 19,
Matthew
verse 6.
19, verse 6. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore Yahweh has joined together, let not man put asunder.
What did Yahweh join together? What did he join together out of Genesis and the closing statement? What did he join together that we could just read? So you know why marriage and everything don't work? Because it's never joined together on, we join together on appearance and a convenient condition. But he said, well, Yahweh joined together. But how did he join marriage together? How did he join relationships together that we can read when we precept that to that verse number 6? What did he do in Genesis to join them together? What was the rules and regulations, count four in the closing statement? What was it?
The two became one flesh. So you have one head of the two.
Uh-huh. And what is the position that he joined together, the roles that will be played? According to 2:18, what is this? Huh?
The man is the head.
And what else? And what the woman is?
And the woman is his helpmeet.
Oh, that's how I go. So that's how I go. And so that's a relationship that Yahweh joined together. What Yahweh joined together is what we can read. So if that order is in place, then Yahweh joined it together. But if that flip-flop any kind of way, that means Yahweh did not join together. So that's what he joined together. Man is the head, woman is to help me. That's what he put together. Man is the head, woman is to help me. So that was Yahweh joined together. So the reason why we in all types of relationship with a whole lot of talking going on, because the order is not put on the table before the agreement is put on the table. That's the order. You got to first understand the order. Man is the head, woman is the help. This transmission in California, you start, you still at all. What your closing statement is, you're on the clock, come on.
Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh, all ye lands. Serve Yahweh with gladness. come before his presence with singing. Verse 3, know ye that Yahweh, he is Yahweh. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, enter into the gates with thanksgiving and unto the courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Verse 5, for Yahweh is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Alleluia, qua, alleluia, qua, alleluia, qua.
Alleluia, qua, excellent. All right. So one thing about it, that's why you got to be clear, you know, when Yahweh have joined a marriage or a relationship together. So Yahweh got rules and regulations. Now, you just read the rules and regulations on joined together. That's how it's supposed to be. Young Lion, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23.
Okay. Going to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, picking it up at verse 23. Verse 23 reads, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Yahweh the Son is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
So he got a position by being the head, and you got a position. So once everything in position, then Yahweh is in the midst of it. Then what he joined together is like he gave you rules and regulations. Northern kingdom have to fall in line up under Southern kingdom. That is the rules and regulations. And the best way it starts in the 16th chapter of the book Deuteronomy. So the order got to be there. You want Yahweh to come in? The order got to be there. 16. Let's go to Deuteronomy 16, pick up verse 1 and 2.
Okay. The book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 16, picking up at verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 reads, observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover to Yahweh your Yahweh. For the month of Abib, Yahweh your Yahweh, by night. Verse 2, you shall therefore sacrifice the Passover to Yahweh your Yahweh of the flock and the herd, in a place which Yahweh shall choose to place his name there.
Mm-hmm. So we find out one thing, and the month of Abib is what in 13 verse 4? What that mean, Abib, 13 verse 4 of Exodus? What that mean?
Okay. The book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 4 reads, verse 4, this day came ye out in the month Abib.
And what is Abib according to 12, 1 and 2? Of Exodus.
Exodus, chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2, verse 1 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, verse 2, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.
So Abib is the first month. Abib is the first month. First month. Now this be right. Abib is the first month. So Abib and one is interchangeable. That's what he got set up. Now come back to Exodus chapter 12. On the first month, Abib, where he got his name at in chapter 12, what's supposed to happen that we can read? 12th chapter, verse 6. What happened in verse 6?
The book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 6. 6 reads, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
Mm-hmm. In the evening. And you do this, what they'll be talking about, in 13 verse 10, What is it, 13 verse 10 to say?
The book of Exodus, 10, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, you shall therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year.
From year to year. In Leviticus chapter, 23, verse 1, 4 and 5 says what? Leviticus 23, verse 1, 4 and 5 says what?
Okay. Book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 1, 4, and 5. Verse 1 reads, and Yahweh said to Moses,
yeah, go ahead.
Verse 4 reads, these are the feasts of Yahweh, even righteous, which you shall proclaim in their season. Verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month, even is Yahweh's Passover.
Verse 15.
And you shall count unto you from tomorrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you bought the shreef of the wave, seven Sabbath
years. Hold on, Brother Mackay, let's come back. We'll come back. We'll take it back again from 4 to 6 again. One more time. 4 verses 6.
Okay. The book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 4 down to 6. Verse 4 reads, these are the feasts of Yahweh, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. Verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month, at even is Yahweh's Passover. Verse 6, and on the day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto Yahweh. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread.
Read that verse 6 again.
Verse 6 reads, And on the 15th day of the same month.
There you go, 15 days. There you go, 14 and 15. So on the 14 and 15, that's when the feast comes, first month, Abib, first month, only come once a year. That's when the feast of Passover, unleavened bread, immediately follows after that for 7 days. 14th day, first month, Abib. That is the feast. Got nothing to do with moons. Got nothing to do with none of that. Let's go to St. John chapter 7, and we'll look at verse 14 down to verse 17. Nothing to God to do with anything. Feast day of unleavened bread, 15th day. Passover, 14th day. First month, Abib, that's the end of it. That's Yahweh's word. St. John chapter 7, 14 and 17 says what?
The book of St. John chapter 7, verse 14 down to 17. 14 reads, now about the midst of the feast, Yahweh the Son went up into the temple and talked. Verse 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how know this man letter, having never learned? Verse 16, Yahweh the Son answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of Yahweh or whether I speak of myself.
Mm-hmm. So if anybody do these Sabbath days, feast days, the way you want to do it, we know exactly what's on your mind. We can know that what you on is Ephesians 4:14 with no problem. We know when you're on Ephesians 4:14. So if you ain't doing the Passover on the 14th day at evening, where he places his name at, we know the Passover you get ready to do got from Ephesians 4:14 wrapped all around it. What it say?
The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 14. 14 reads, that we herefore be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
You see that? So anytime you don't know what your father have told you, that means you're in the wrong ministry. The 14th day, first month, Abib is the thing. Now let's go to Acts 20, verse 6. Let's see what Paul says in 20 verse 6. What did Paul say?
Okay, going to the book of Acts. Verse 6 reads, "And we sailed away from Philippia after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days."
Mm-hmm. So you see it? So Paul kept the feast before you, unleavened bread. Then he kept another feast that was 7 days after that. That was unleavened bread. He kept the Passover unleavened bread. See that, see, right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. He said, coming up, see, right? We'll know what you're on because if you do it the Bible, they kept the feast day, see, right? They didn't keep the peep behind the curtain either. Let's see what it says in 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8.
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 reads, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Yahweh the Son, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Verse 8. "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth."
Mm-hmm. So Paul said, keep the feast. Luke chapter 2, 41, 42. Luke chapter 2, 41 and 42.
Okay. Going to the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 41, verse 42. 41 reads, "Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." Verse 42. "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast."
What feast are you talking about, our young lion? What custom after what feast?
Passover,
see, right? Passover. The family. Passover. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 16. Pick it up verse 11 and 13. 11 and 14. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 16, verse 11 and 14. Deuteronomy 16, 11 and 14, what it say?
Book of Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 11 and verse 14. Verse 11 reads, "And you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Yahweh, you and your son, and your daughter, and your manservant, and your maidservant, and the Levite that is within your gate, and the stranger, and the father, and the widow that are among you, in the place which Yahweh your Yahweh have chosen to place his name there." Verse 14. "And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son, and your daughter, and your manservant, and your maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within your gate."
Mm-hmm. When is all this? Verse 6 and verse 1 in the closing statement. Verse 6 and verse 1.
Okay. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 6 and verse 1. Verse 6 reads, "But at the place which Yahweh, your Yahweh, shall choose to place his name in, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that you came forth out of Egypt." Verse 1 reads, "Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover to Yahweh, your Yahweh. For the month of Abib, Yahweh, your Yahweh brought you forth out of Egypt by night."
So the Passover ain't at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock on whatever day you're going to celebrate. All feast days, all Sabbath days starts at evening. Look at, if we line up with Yahweh, he's coming in. If you continue to do it contrary to Yahweh, you're going to sit there and watch it with us. Well, we're not reading it. Hosea 5:15, we're not reading it. That's what's going to happen. We'll leave it like that. Young lion, you stood tall. Yahdai, you stood tall. The elder. Camp Folger, Chart, Michigan. You hanging there in grand style. Now the young lion for the closes out. You on the clock. And Mother D.F. Israel, you all is get well. But we can see you real soon at Camp 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You on the clock. Young lion, for your clothes, come on.
I want to thank Yahuwah for another blessed day to read his word. Thank Yahuwah for the spirit to teach us his word. Thanking Yahuwah for my wife and children who have given me the raise for him. Thank Yahuwah for the elders, the mothers, keeping Mother D up in strong prayers. Thanking Yahuwah for her strength and fast recovery. Thank Yahuwah for the brothers and sisters that attended the Voice of the True Israelite in all the camps, Nordic camps. And I also want to thank Yahuwah for all the brothers and sisters that continue to stay on the line. I'm going to read the book of Psalms, picking it up at chapter, what page here? Yeah? Go back over here. 85. Verse 1, Yahuwah, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Israel. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Yes. And how Yahuwah will bring the captivity of northern kingdom Israel to southern kingdom Israel. Yah God give it. If we get in order, Yahuwah will intervene. If we keep these Sabbath days joined together as one man, one woman, Yahuwah going to intervene. As long as we out of order and don't recognize what Yahuwah put together, he put together order. If we do order, then Yahuwah joined together. If we out of order, that means Yahuwah did not join it together. Same thing about relationship. Relationship got to be in order. The Bible order. How he did it in the beginning. Huh? If we do that, start now, Yahuwah will intervene. So Latter-day Saints, you got it plainly and understood now that when you read the 15th chapter, you're talking about southern and northern kingdoms. It got nothing to do with the other nations. All one can be reconciled in is the peoples of the book. When they book away, in the 11th and 12th chapter, they got opportunity to come back in. What can we say? That's how you read the 15th chapter. Southern Northern Kingdom went back to leadership. We're in position to teach you what you need to know. You got to get rid of them puffed up spirits and bow down to the six anointed camps. But we're going to teach you right in the word of Yahuwah. Enough said. That's enough said. The elders, the mothers, the young lions, all on the network, doing their part in Death Says Yahuwah. So we'll catch you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.